Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog and win $256 if they win. It's that simple. So pick one of many select college basketball underdogs for your shot at winning $256, and all it takes is a $4 bet. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number three to Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and with Greg Pickle, quarter number three means it's time to ask Greg. That's where we have Greg answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions. And if you want to submit a question, download our free app from the App Store. Just search on Keystone Sports, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. After the segment, we're going to select the best question, and now the winner gets a great package courtesy of thetailgateclub.com. They have those great barbecue sauces from 409 Tailgate that we all love, plus so many other great products like bacon ketchup, sweet banana pepper, mustard, all from TheTailgateClub.com. Greg, are you ready to answer some questions?
I'm always ready, Jim. Let's do it.
All right. Let me find our questions. Here we go. Let's start with our buddy Mike from Colorado, who I'm sure has been buried in snow for the last couple weeks. Mike asks, so with the dearth of experience at defensive end, do they get creative with their sets to put the best 11 on the field? Would we see more 3-4 sets? Would we line up a linebacker at stand-up end? Mike wants to know, Greg.
Yeah, it's a fair question. And I think the most interesting thing to me, Jim, one of the things we didn't get to in the first two segments of today's show, talking about James Franklin's news conference, is that they moved Zariah Fisher to defensive end. And that was always going to be a possibility back when he was a recruit. And they finally got him to that spot after a year on campus. And I guess where I'm going with this is the numbers are pretty tough at both defensive end and linebacker entering spring camp. So, you know, I think they're going to have to get creative. And do they try some more 3-4 stuff? I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, we've seen that. I would expect that they're going to more, if they're going to do anything exotic or different from their base 4-3, it's going to be more that nickel dime package, star package, I think is what they call it at Penn State, you know, where they bring on another corner. I don't think you're going to see them go to a 3-4 and add an extra linebacker, because I don't think they have enough guys, really, frankly, to fill out the depth chart as well as they would like to in their 4-3 right now. So to add another linebacker, I think, could just cause more problems. So I don't know if that's going to end up being the case, but I do think you'll see a lot of that star package where they bring an extra corner on and take a linebacker off the field. And, you know, we've seen that three defensive linemen set up as well, where they move a guy like Hakeem Beamon or Nick Tarburton out to defensive end for a play or two. So I think we'll see plenty of that this year as well. But yeah, with the numbers they have both along the defensive line, especially at end and at linebacker, Brent Pry is going to have to do some creative stuff this year, I think. There's no question.
Two thoughts, Greg. One is just the fact that they are moving linebacker Zariah Fisher from linebacker to defensive end. That is a statement that it doesn't mean they're going to a 3-4, but just the fact that they need help at defensive end is a factor. That's pretty obvious. The second thought is where we're looking at those positions like defensive end, where they brought a transfer in, defensive tackle, where they brought the transfer in. Is this not also a reflection of how recruiting has gone the last couple of years, where you don't have a couple of incoming players that you say he's obviously the next guy up at these positions?
Yeah, I don't want to I hate to be so negative, but is there a word other than terrible to define Penn State's defensive line recruiting over the last few years? I mean, Jim, let's be honest. I mean, P.J. Mustipher worked out well, and he's a young guy who obviously is going to see more time. You know, Jason Alway obviously needed just 3 years to go to the NFL draft. But look at that depth chart there right now. I mean, it is terrifyingly thin on starting experience and game experience. That's why they had to bring in two transfers who most expect are going to start pretty much from the jump. You know, it sounded to me, I don't know if you got the same vibe, Jim, but it sounds like Arnold Ebiketie is 100% going to start at defensive end opposite Adisa Isaac, who, again, good on paper but has yet to produce a ton on the field. I don't know if Derek Tangelo is going to have as easy of a path to the starting defensive tackle spot beside P.J. Mustipher, but I think there's about a pretty darn good chance that that ends up being the case, and if not, he's going to be heavily used in that rotation. So, you know, it's but yeah, it's been a couple of cycles full of misses at that position, and guys just not coming to campus but not being close to being ready to play, and that's obviously why they're in kind of the numbers pinch that they are right now. You're 100% right. The recruiting there has just not been so great over the last couple of years, and it's starting to show now on the field.
And again, referring back to James Franklin's press conference, he talked about looking to be 2.5 deep at positions, and he used defensive end as an example, and I don't think that was a coincidence, Greg, where he talked about they typically have a four-man rotation, you know, two at each position for four guys. He wants to have at least a fifth guy who could go play either position, and they don't have five guys ready to play. You know, you think Adisa Isaac would be one of those guys. Ebiketie, yeah, the assumption is he's going to be the other starter, and you're still, where are the next couple guys coming from?
Yeah, there's no question. Jim, Bob Flanders had pointed this out to me yesterday, and he's right, and listening to you and I try and figure out Arnold's last name and Christian's last name might be a record for Penn State names that people will pronounce the way they want to, and there'll be no clarity on the matter until Steve Jones and Jack Ham get behind the microphone again.
Although I did have a one of our listeners is from Ohio, and he gave me a pronunciation help. Drew.
Aller.
Is the way he.
Aller.
And where's he from? What's the town's name?
Medina, or is it Medina?
No,
I don't know.
It's Medina.
Medina. Okay, good. We're just learning all kinds of things today.
Yes, that we need help from our listeners who know the answers. So help us out. But I did find it interesting. Christian Vaiu. I was told that's the way to pronounce it. And don't you know Dwight Gault pronounces it differently last week.
Oh, not only did he pronounce it differently, Jim, but he said that he was very clear to say this is the way you pronounce it, in case anyone was wondering, is what he said. So, I don't know.
And then James Franklin pronounced it differently.
Correct. Yes. So, again, this is going to set a record for the number of Penn State players whose names will be pronounced incorrectly for a long time.
All right, Greg. Let's get to another question here. Let's go with Aaron from Houston, Texas, who says, Greg, rank the following three items in likelihood of them coming true this football season, from least likely to most likely. And here are the three items. Penn State will have at least 50,000 fans in attendance for their first home football game. Two, Penn State will allow some sort of tailgating. Three, at least one Penn State game will get canceled due to COVID.
False. So I'm going to go true, false there. I do think that Penn State, you know, so what? I mean, I don't have it in front of me at the moment, but they just said that, like, what, outdoor venues can have 50% of their capacity now, I think. And so that's on, you know, that's as you and I sit here and talk in mid-March. We're talking about games, the first home game for Penn State, September 10th? 11th, something like that. And so who knows what the rules will be by then. If we're already at 50%, it's hard for me to believe we won't be at least at 75% or 80% by September. So I think 50,000 is fair. I think that tailgating, look, I don't, if you're going to allow that many people to come to State College, Jim, what reasoning would there be to not let them tailgate? And who's going to listen if you tell them, hey, yeah, 70,000 of you can gather in the parking lot, but real, please just don't sit around your tailgate or your car or whatever and have a beer and maybe grill some food ahead of time. Don't do that. Yeah, good luck policing that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if you if number one is true, then by default, number two has to be true. And three would just really surprise me. I don't see it happening. It would be greatly disappointing if that was the case, but I guess you never know.
You know, the experts on COVID have been wrong over and over again. So who are we to, you know, make bold statements?
Sure, sure.
With that said, it sure hasn't prevented us from making our own predictions. It just seems like the trend now is things are opening up. Pennsylvania rules are changing. I believe it's April 4th that they're opening things up more for restaurants and bars and so on.
I can't wait to be able to sit at the bar again, Jim. I'll just go ahead and put that on record.
Okay. In the most likely to happen, if that was part of this group, that would have been number one with a star is what you're saying.
Yeah,
right?
So I guess, I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess the question was most likely to happen. I mean, again, I think that if one is true, two has to be true. And if two is true, one has to be true. So I don't know how you separate those. And to me, three is by far the least likely of those two things to happen in 2021.
Exactly. And you got to think that by fall, you know, getting the vaccine, I just got my second shot, Greg, so I'm all good to go in another week or so. So I will be able to be there. Let's get to another question if we can. I don't know if you can answer this, Greg, but do your best. Rich from Bakersfield, California says, if I buy a Penn State football ticket from a third party like StubHub or other places like eBay, will Penn State reimburse me for the face value of the ticket if 2021 games are canceled? Was there a precedent set in 2020 on how they handled ticket reimbursement for people who bought from third parties?
No, I mean, and for better or for worse, that's between you and the third-party vendor, regardless of whether I buy a ticket from you, Jim, or you buy it from StubHub, or you buy it from TicketGeek or Vivid Seat, whatever. I mean, yeah, Penn State has nothing to do with those transactions, so that'd be between you and the third-party seller. And I know some of them have been pretty good about it, some of them not, but I will just caution, and this goes for travel too. I mean, there was a lot of relaxing of some pretty long-time company-favoring rules last year because of the pandemic, and guess what? They're all eager to make their money back and not be put in that situation again. So read the fine print pretty closely before you book anything, because I think people are going to be in for a bit of a rude awakening this year on that front.
And let's just hope they don't have to cancel games, that by the fall we'll kind of be past that point. That is it for quarter number three and Ask Greg. In quarter number four, we're going to get to my favorite topic. We're going to talk recruiting. Stay tuned.
March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of action. Bet $4 on an underdog. Win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.